Did you guys all love our chat earlier this week with attorney Emily D. Baker, who is attorney at law, who is now a legal commentator and has spent lots and lots of time deep diving into the Erica Jayne case? We got into it all. What has happened this season? What is happening now that the reunion is here? And really, what is this all for? What is the best and worst case if Erica is found guilty of anything? From a legal point of view, Emily is the one that we have turned to. Have you guys liked that conversation earlier in the week? Well, today it continues on Patreon. We get into more of that. We talk more about the reunion, what we can expect next season, how long this is probably going to play out for Erica. We talk a little bit about Jen Shah too, and why the public and listeners and people have just gone crazy for this Erica Jayne case and why nobody can kind of get enough of this. So if you guys enjoyed that chat, head on over to Patreon. Here are a few little clips from that so you know what to expect. Enjoy. Have a great Saturday. Full episode on Patreon. And here are a few little examples of what you can expect. See you guys later. That isn't really, it's what has happened since she is known. So I get staying on the show because it's the salary and you need the money. Like, let's talk about the social media and the show. I mean, like, do you think her lawyers, like, are they just having a breakdown every day? I mean, like, I understand the Fenty and the sponsorships, but that's gone now. Like, I mean, what if this was your client? Would you just say, like, you could say goodbye on Instagram, like, make a statement, goodbye, everyone, I'll be back in 3 years? Is that what you would advise someone?
It's interesting because with Fenty and with contractual relations, as a lawyer, I feel like sometimes there can be almost a conflict because the lawyers still want to get paid. So your client still needs to work and make money. I talked to Evan C. Borges, her lawyer for the bankruptcies. He is not a particularly social media savvy individual. I brought up some things that were on Twitter and said, do you care to comment? He's like, I haven't even seen these yet. I don't get the sense that Erica's calling him every day going, they said this on Twitter, they said that on Twitter. Because if she does, you know, most of the time you then have to pay your lawyer for making that phone call. So I don't think her lawyer just, and I don't know about her family law attorneys that are dealing with the divorce, but I don't think her bankruptcy lawyers are giving a lot of guidance in that realm. That's not the gist I got from the conversation. Some lawyers are just like, look, what you're doing on social media is what you're doing on social media. You're not in bankruptcy. You're not under criminal investigation. There's nothing to curtail your speech. Nothing's curtailing this other lawyer's speech who's flaming you out on social. So why am I going to tell you to curtail your behavior? I mean, maybe a conversation about decide what persona you want to give. I think the best advice we've heard has come from PK this season. And I never thought I would say that.
I'm horrified to learn this. And she did things like what Ronald Richards suggests or others. Like if she now started saying, I'm going to sell my clothes, I'm going to take all these, this second bedroom that we see on the show, it's all going to be, and I'm giving this money to the victims. It's not going to be close to what they deserve, but like, is that something the lawyers could say? Like you can't do that. That's basically,
I would tell her absolutely not to, because when we talked earlier about trying to settle everything she's facing, they, whatever assets she has, they have to be strategic with, because if she hypothetically, if she was like, I'm selling the whole glam room, I'm selling the Jaguar ring, I'm selling everything, and I'm giving it to Ron Richards because he was on Twitter making settlement offers that are supposed to be confidential and private and shouldn't be made on social media. And I have a whole ton of issues with aside from that, but this kind of shakedown on social media of, hey, we'll take less of our fee if you just do it now, which he knew she wasn't going to do, and probably knew that in conversations with her lawyer too, and still put it out on Twitter to look like he was doing something. But
like, sorry, you're out of your $11 million house or whatever it's down to now. Again, you're still in a 2000 square foot bungalow, which I know in LA may not be a lot, but it's still, it has nice.
It's a lot. I lived in LA. We lived in 910 square feet with a family of four. I mean, so that's, I get it.
That's where it's like, okay, you're still on the show. Now you may not be on the show forever, but you'll have social media. People will have a cameo from you. You write the book. So it's like, I'm sorry, you have to go live in a one bedroom apartment somewhere. Maybe this 2000 is too big. Maybe it'll just be an apartment, but you'll be alive. But I mean, that's how it's going to play out. There's going to be plenty. Are they going to try to give everybody a little something or no? It is how it is.
No, so in bankruptcy, there's an order. And I went over this on my channel. There's an order of priority. The thing that's unfortunate for most of Tom's clients,
I mean, that makes sense. So like best case when this is over, I'm not best case, but for Erica, let's just for her best case, it's over and she walks away and works and just starts over with her Beverly Hills Housewives salary.
Yep.
And then what is the worst case that she knew a lot? And then what? Jail time is a real,
I mean, the worst case is that the, and if Bravo likes her and if Andy likes her, we've seen them bend over backwards for Teresa. You could see them do that for her, particularly because the ratings this season, it seems have been so good. People are very invested in either hate watching her or curiosity or spectacle or watching the train wreck. People are very invested and would watch. If they didn't, Erica tells all after, she's not going to do one now because everybody's documenting every damn thing she says. But down the road after this resolves, if she does a tell all of us are going to fucking watch it. Bravo knows that.
You guys know I'm always on the go and running around with this job, and I've never made a priority of hydrating and putting the right nutrients into my body, and I always find myself hungry. That's why 310 Nutrition for me has been a lifesaver. Their water hydrators are great. You add them to water, and they make your water so delicious. They have refreshing, healthy lemonade mixes without sugar, and my personal favorite, they're all-in-one shakes. My favorite's the caramel sundae, but they also have vanilla cake, shamrock cream, chocolate icing. One of these shakes, it totally satisfies my hunger. It cures my carb craving. It cures my sugar craving. It's low fat and low carbs. And hello, it tastes like dessert. But don't take my word for it. Right now, 310 is celebrating a new year of goals with code VELVETROPE and giving our listeners 50% off up to $100 off your first order. With so many sample packs, new products, it's really fun and it's easy to put together an order or start a subscription on products you know you'll use. Go to 310nutrition.com and use the code VELVETROPE right now for 50% up to $100 for your first order. That's 310nutrition.com and use code VELVETROPE.
Bravo knows that the ratings on 98% of the things are not so good anymore. This had a good season. This and Potomac, yep. The ratings are doing good. And Jersey had decent ratings last season. That's about it. Everything else was down. So they will see how Salt Lake does. It's doing like the same so far, which isn't great. It's not great.
No, because they started out strong with being like, hey, we have federal agents arresting people while filming. They started out big.
Well, that's my point. Like, why is no one like people just want to talk about, I mean, I can tell you my listeners, right? I could talk about anything. It's like people want to just talk about Erica all the day.
Why not do you everyone, think but that most, is that people don't want to talk about Jen Shaw?
It's so funny because when you come back and we do our Jen Shaw talk, yeah. I'm going to ask you about that, but it doesn't feel the same, does it? It doesn't feel no. the same to me.
The vitriol towards Erica on social media, and maybe it's her behavior on social, but Jen Shaw hasn't been a peach on social either. And awful. Jen Shaw's the one who did the thing. Like Jen Shaw is the one who...
I'm flabbergasted. She did the thing. I mean, there is something to me inherently unlikable about Jen Shaw. I'm going to put that out there. There's something inherently unlikable about her too, which is why when we talk all about Jen Shaw and that whole thing, her behavior, like on social, she's posting Gucci and this, and that's not much better. I don't think
and she's flaming after Meredith's kid. I mean, she has not been as brazen. I mean, she wasn't a Fenty ambassador as Erica, but also I think it's kind of bullshit to be like, oh, she's splayed out in lingerie. I mean, her comments didn't help, but also
neither Erica. Well, Jen Shaw, to me, it seems like does not realize the severity of what is possibly to come in her life. Like we've talked about this before, like when the feds come and pull a van, like they're not just, this is like, you're not walking away. There's evidence, sweetie. Like the feds do not waste their time.
No, Jen doesn't seem to appreciate Erica seems to appreciate that her life is crumbling. Jen seems to be like, what? This is my business. Why is this a big deal? Everybody's just, why are you all bullying me? I mean, it's a very interesting tack to take. I'm innocent. Y'all are stupid. Fuck off is what Jen Shaw's defense seems to be right now.
I don't know. Erica's so cold. It's almost like there. That's why there are times where I'm like, does Erica know? Like, is she so innocent that she's just like, bring it on, but I'm not worried because I know the truth will prevail and I did nothing. And like the truth always sets you free. I don't know. Sometimes Erica is so stoic that I'm like, I mean, she has to deal with what's going on around her, but she's just like, once I get through this, it'll be interesting when this is, I mean, what do you, the timeline do you think? I mean, are we looking at like Erica's, this is going to be going on for 3 years, 5 years, 2 years, I mean, 6 months. All these questions and more answered today, right now, over on Patreon. Love having Emily here. Yes, I'm a lawyer. I can have these discussions, but this is Emily's life's work. I mean, I can't have these discussions to the extent she could because I don't keep up with the laws and Emily does. And, you know, there's been so much talk about Erica this whole season. It seems to be the only thing people want to talk about. But like from a legal point of view, like, these were my questions. Like, how much longer, like, is this case going to go on? You heard me ask the question, really, what's the best case for Erica when this is all over? What's the worst case as far as serving time if she's found guilty? And we just kind of get into it. And yeah, we do talk a little bit about Jen Shah too, but head on over to Patreon. We break all this down from a legal standpoint. Emily's amazing. It's a continuation of a chat we had here, part one, which is on the main feed. And I hope you guys enjoy this. Emily, listen, Emily wasn't leaving without me getting answers for all you guys. So hope you enjoy this. Have a great Saturday.